Hello, I'm Lynn Parsons, and welcome to Pop on the Line, the program that gives you a chance to put questions to some of the world's most popular music stars. Today, I'm joined by David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. If you'd like to talk to David, then call us now. All you have to do is dial your international access code, followed by the code for the United Kingdom, 44, the London code, which is 171, and then 3797444. That's your international access code, followed by 44171 3797444. And if you're calling from within the United Kingdom, call 0171 379 0411. Once you've telephoned and placed your question, then we'll endeavour to ring you back so that Pop on the Line pays for the call. If you have access to email, you can send your question to David Gilmour right now to ws.pop@bbc.co.uk. That's ws.pop@bbc.co.uk. Money by Pink Floyd originally featured on one of the biggest selling albums of all time, Dark Side of the Moon, which to date has sold over 25 million copies worldwide. A brilliantly produced album with a sharp awareness of stereo effects, it pioneered a whole new way of making records. It was soon followed by further classic albums, Wish You Were Here, Animals, The Wall, and most recently, The Division Bell. These albums not only pushed back the boundaries of studio production, but also elevated the band to the forefront of stadium concert spectaculars with breathtaking state-of-the-art performances. David Gilmour has been a major force in Pink Floyd for over 30 years, and since the mid-1980s has been the chief songwriter and vocalist, as well as one of the world's leading guitarists. Outside of the band, he's found time to produce two solo albums and make guest appearances on tracks with Elton John, Pete Townsend, Paul McCartney, and Kate Bush, whom he also discovered. David has toured as a solo artist too, and in 1985 made an appearance at Live Aid with Brian Ferry. Pink Floyd released their last studio album, The Division Bell, 4 years ago, which was followed by an 8-month world tour, accompanied by the band's biggest ever stage show. The highly successful tour was documented on a double live CD called Pulse. Since that tour, David has guested on stage with The Who for a special performance of Quadrophenia in aid of Prince Charles's Prince's Trust, and he performed for the Dalai Lama at a benefit concert in London in 1996. Since then, David's been keeping a lower profile, but he's kindly agreed to join us today to answer your questions. Welcome, David. How are you?
Oh, very well. I feel great after that introduction. Thank you.
We have so many calls from all over the world. Let's cross to one from Germany to start with. Andrew, you're through to David Gilmour.
Hello there. Hello, Dave.
Thanks. Hi.
And I'd just like to kick off by saying thanks for all the music. I've been a Pink Floyd fan since I saw you at the Roundhouse, I think it was, back in 73, probably correct.
73? God, I thought it was earlier than that the last time we were at
the
Roundhouse.
Was it earlier than that? Somebody took me there and there was this great guitar player on stage.
Who was he?
Yeah, well, I thought he was quite good. If you had to enter the music industry today, how would you go about it?
Oh, I'd be terrified, I think.
What has changed over the past 30 years? Because so many of the people who are on, who are making the breaks today seem to be produced by established figures such as yourself, Stock Aitken and Waterman and so on.
Oh, I'm not sure if I like the comparison, but... I have no idea how I'd... I haven't even given it a second thought how I'd enter into today. It's a very, very... difficult market, I think, but I suppose one would try to enter it through the medium of modern technology and the internet, which seems to be what a lot of independent sort of bands are doing these days. They're bypassing the studio, the big studios, EMI and all the record companies, and doing it for themselves online, selling their stuff and getting known through that medium.
Andrew, do you ask that question because you'd like to start a band up, or you're...
Well, I used to be in the music industry a long, long time ago, and then I'm at the middle. I've just started to think about returning to the music industry, and all the old contacts and all the old ways of doing things seem to have gone out of the window.
Well, the old ways still apply. You can still send in tapes to record companies, and record companies, you know, there are one or two of the record companies who declare proudly that they listen to every single one that comes.
They seem to be looking for something, shall we say, one always had this accusation, something more commercial, in inverted commas. They seem to have an idea of what it is they're looking for before they found it.
If you have, yes, obviously record companies tend to be following what the scene is rather than making the scene. For me, the way we did it and the way I think it has often worked is that people gained a live reputation. And if you have a live reputation and your popularity is proven that way, then you're bound to get signed up because they see all those people buying those tickets and they think some of those people will buy those records, and that's what their business is primarily about.
Andrew, if you wanted to send a tape to the next big thing here at the World Service, care of me, there's a new series of programs trying to break new bands. You could always do that. You have
the
address.
I'm sure we will, along with
all right. God bless and thank you very much for your call. Let's cross to India. Krish, you're through to David Gilmour.
Thank you, Lynn. Actually, one of my friends, when I tell him that I've spoken to Dave Gilmour, is going to have a heart attack. So may God forgive me for that. And my question is this.
Sorry?
I hope not.
You won't, Krish. What's your question?
I hope not, too. My question is MTV doing more harm than good to music industry?
I have no idea if it's doing more harm than good. I personally, I'm not very keen on the visualization of absolutely everything. I think myself that rather like books, music is, meant to enter into the brain, well, via your ears rather than your eyes, but I think a lot more should be left to the imagination. And I think once you've seen a song with a video, it limits your own, your mind's ability to read into it anything other than what you've seen.
Krish, does that make you happy, that answer?
Yeah, kind of. That's true, actually. Being a visually impaired person, for me, actually, MTV and radio makes no difference at all. And so, I was wondering what he thinks about it. Just one supplementary question, if I may. Like, who's his favorite author? Who's your favorite author?
My favorite author? God, I don't know.
Do you get a chance to read?
Yes, I read a lot. In the last year or two, I'll have to try and think what the last few I've read. I liked Captain Corelli's Mandolin quite recently. God, hundreds of things. All the time.
Krish, thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Greece now. Fiona Fanbridge.
Hello.
What's your question?
Oh, hello. I'd like to say that I think a lot of your music is rather sad and poignant, perhaps.
Yeah.
I wondered if you were aware of this?
It's really tough to get happy music going, you know, The music tends to be an expression of one's darker moments.
Really?
I find it incredibly difficult to write anything that's really happy.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that necessarily I or Roger or anyone else who's written this stuff is permanently miserable. I don't know, though.
Right. Oh, I just wondered. By the way, there's an absolutely marvellous spot out here for a very small outdoor concert, an ancient Greek amphitheatre, tucked up in the hills overlooking the Corinthian Gulf.
Yes.
If you're ever looking for a small place to do a concert, I'm sure you'd love it.
Sounds brilliant. I'll jot it down.
You'll bear it in mind.
Yeah.
Ancient Sicyon.
We'll take down the details, Fiona. Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much, and good luck with your future music.
Thank you.
We said earlier on that you were keeping a lower profile. Is that because you're happy and you're not writing new music?
That's pretty much it, yes. I haven't felt compelled to go back into the studio and do anything serious. I have a little sort of home studio thing, which I potter about in occasionally. I've sort of remarried a few years ago and have had a couple more children in the last couple of years. And so home life is taking up a lot of my time, and my wife is writing a book at the moment, and so I'm leaving the space to her as far as work is concerned, mostly at the moment.
Which leads us slightly into a question from Jennifer Lyme, which was emailed to us from Paris. And she said, please ask David Gilmore, are any of your children interested in music, or do they play any type of music?
Well, I think they're all stunningly talented, but of course, naturally.
You're biased.
I am a little bit biased. None of them have really decided to make it a career. None of the ones who are old enough to make it a career
right.
have decided to make it a career, but I live in hope.
John Ormerod is in Crawley in the UK. You're through to David Gilmore.
Thank you. Hello, David. Nice to talk to you.
Hi.
If you're looking for somewhere to do that concert, by the way, my back garden is very suitable for an outdoor concert.
It's much closer
recommend.
To home. Thank you. I must get the address.
Thank you. David, I wanted to ask you, I mean, Division Bell was fantastic. Pink Floyd are going from strength to strength, in my view. But what was it that made you decide to make your own solo material? And do you have any plans to continue that?
If you are in a band or in any situation with other people, there are obviously brilliant aspects to it.
Yeah.
But there are also things that you start finding yourself tied to.
Yeah.
And sometimes you write pieces of music that you don't feel suits the group as it stands, or even bits of music that they've not liked that you do like, and or sometimes they don't want to work and you do want to work, so there's a number of reasons why one might find oneself doing these things, and as to whether I shall do it again, I expect so.
Oh.
But I don't really know when.
Okay, well, that would be great, and thank you very much for talking to me.
It's my pleasure.
John, thank you for your call. And Donna Henry is in Arizona in the States. Donna, you're through to David.
Hi, David.
Hi. I love the Age of Innocence.
It's a privilege for me.
Sorry?
Pardon me?
Yeah, carry on.
Oh, okay. What I wanted to know is, will you be releasing any solo material in the future?
I just said to the previous chat that I expect to do so one day, but I haven't. To be honest with you, I haven't actually got any plans. I haven't made a plan yet, so I'm afraid this is a very pleasant opportunity to chat, but without a great deal of hard information.
Donna, you also had another question, didn't you?
Well, I understand that you recently become a born-again Christian.
Oh, you understand wrong.
No.
Where did you hear that?
On an interview that you had supposedly given over the internet. Well, it was posted on the internet.
Oh, right. One of those things. Well, they're notoriously unreliable. You don't want to believe everything you hear.
Okay.
Unless it's, I mean, you can't even see it's me now, so it might not be. It might be an imposter the BBC have put in here, but
No, I recognize the voice.
Oh, good, good. No, I'm afraid I haven't become born-again Christian. I'm sort of Church of England lapsed.
Oh.
It's about as far as I go.
So the moral of the story is, don't believe everything you read on the internet, Donna.
So, well, that would void out my second question, and that was if that was going to influence your future writing with Pink Floyd and solo.
Well,
I guess not.
But sadly not. But thank you very much for your call anyway, Donna.
Well, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. We have another email here for you, which is slightly more complicated, or complex, I should say. It's from Singapore, and it's Gary Fry Jr., who says, Dear Mr. Gilmore, I think there is a misconception about your interaction between Nick Mason and Rick Wright. Could you expand upon what your relationship in between the three of you is? Are you close? Do you spend time together? Or do you mainly maintain your private lives with occasional interaction concerning the business of Pink Floyd?
You know, Nick is the best drummer that Pink Floyd has had for Pink Floyd, and Rick is the best keyboard player that Pink Floyd have had for Pink Floyd. And we have a very good relationship, a very good working relationship. I saw Nick last night, funnily enough, but we don't see that much of each other. It's like it's a very long period of time we've been working together, and we're very different people and have different groups of friends and family things, so we don't see that much of each other, but one shouldn't read too much into that. I know that when people say these things, it's often taken that we hate each other's guts, but that's nowhere near the truth. And they, you know, our working relationship has been very good, mostly, if at times frustrating.
I think that answers that question. Okay, let's take another call. This one's from Winchester in the UK. David Parker.
Hello there. Hi, Mr. Gilmore.
Hi.
Hi. It's quite a simple question, really. What music do you listen to which influences your music and songwriting? I mean, I ask this because Pink Floyd, for the last 30 years, have always managed to have quite a unique sound, and your guitar playing is certainly very distinctive nowadays. I mean, is there anybody that you particularly think, wow, yes, you know, that's a good sound or something?
The things that it's funny because the things that I listen to are not the sort of things that you would imagine would influence our sound an awful lot.
Oh.
I sort of wait for and buy new Bob Dylan records and lots of, you know, the BOFs, you know, Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and all these people that have been around for centuries. I've enjoyed some of the new stuff that's been coming out.
I was going to say, what about bands like Ocean Colour Scene? They've obviously got a very heavy 60s influence and have picked up on sort of things like perhaps you were playing in the 60s and the Small Faces and so forth. I mean, have you listened to them? Do you think...
I've only heard them on the radio. I haven't got any Ocean Colour Scene records. I've got an Elastica record quite recently that I enjoy. I like the Lemonheads quite a bit.
You like to keep your hand in with these modern things, do you?
I like to have a listen to it, but, you know, getting immersed in a whole album by most of the things that I have heard recently is pretty tough going, and I find myself unequal to the task, and I do occasionally lift a track off something and put it together in a little compilation tape of things for me to listen to. But I, to be honest, I don't listen to groups, really, hardly ever. I know I'm in one, but I don't like them very much.
What about classical music? Does that sort of, you know, do much for you at all?
Yes. I listen to classical music at home probably more than pop music. But
So when you have to do your own writing, you sort of shut yourself away and sort of think, you know, just it's got to be Pink Floyd. You don't sort of listen to things and say, well, I could go with something from that. And,
I think it's all just done by osmosis, you know, subconsciously. You just pick up things into your sort of musical vocabulary and use them. I don't consciously, anyway, sort of listen to things with the idea of getting something from them that I can use.
So from what you're saying, you haven't actually been sat down doing much lately anyway. You've been concentrating on other things.
David, thank you.
I mean, musically, I mean, sort of songwriting-wise, things like that. You've obviously had other things to fill your life with.
Well, I have been doing some writing. I have got sort of, you know, some tapes of bits and pieces that I've been working on, but...
Wait with bated breath, David.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's it. I shall await... Wait for them to
remember. All right, thank you very much for your call.
Breath. That's, it's bad for your health.
Something that I need to pick up on that David mentioned was he said you just shut yourself away. Do you shut yourself away to write, or do you do it whilst you're doing other things?
Well, I keep a little notebook, an audio notebook, you know, like a little cassette player, handy at most times, and little ideas can pop into one's head at any time, and if I'm being reasonably efficient and I've got it close enough to hand, then I pop that little tiny moment of a few seconds down onto a tape, and then I can forget about it for years sometimes,
and then go back to it,
and then sort of go through these tapes and file them all, listen to them, and think, is that this one any good, or is it or does it still contain the little sort of tiny moment of magic in it that I thought it did when I first put it down, and
so
if it doesn't, then it gets dumped.
Are you jotting down an idea, or are you jotting down notes?
I tend to jot down music. I mean, I don't write it. It's a tape machine of some sort. So I strum it or plonk it on a piano or stuff like that. Occasionally, if it's words, I can speak a word or two into it as well, of course.
Mm.
I can't read or write music, so none of it gets done that way.
Very interesting. You've done so well and you can't read or write music.
That's the secret.
Casper is in Denmark. You're through to David.
Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi. Regarding the conversation at the end of High Hopes...
Yes.
Many sources state that this is Stephen O'Rourke talking to your stepson, Charlie.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because I once read, no, I can't remember where, but that it was you, and I think it sounds like you a lot.
No, I'm afraid it's the rumor that you'd heard is true.
Okay. How was it recorded?
It was just on a telephone answering machine at my house when he'd called up and was being, my son Charlie was being unhelpful. And we laughed so much at the message that we stuck it on at the end.
Well, it's pretty
Steve fun. Always said he wanted to get on one of our records.
And he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Casper, you're also a huge Simpsons fan, that's right, isn't it?
That's right. Mostly because of the... my awareness of Simpsons began when I was aware that were the reference to Pink Floyd and the Simpsons. I noticed 11 reference to Pink Floyd.
Really?
Have you ever been offered a guest star voice part in the Simpsons?
No, I haven't actually. No, I've never really watched it. Charlie watches it sometimes, so I've seen a few moments of it, but I haven't managed to get into it.
Your posters is often on the walls of Homer's youth home.
Oh, good. How nice.
Casper, thank you very much for your call. Can I ask you about something other than music? Is it true that you fly?
It is true, yes.
Ah. And how long have you flown for? I mean, are these little aeroplanes, big aeroplanes?
Well, sort of small to medium. I've been flying since 1986, I think. And I did have qualified on a small, Citation jet at some point, but my qualification on that, I imagine, lapsed because I just did it as a thing to do in my spare time. I tend to fly old aeroplanes, old sort of things that are nearly about as old as me, biplanes and stuff like that.
Have you looped the loop?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes, we do
that. And barrel rolled?
Pardon?
And barrel rolled.
Yes, loop the loop and barrel rolled, yes.
We have a question for you about that in just a moment. We have a piece of music as well related to that. But first, if you've just joined us, you're listening to The World Service. It's Pop on the Line. And my guest is David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. If you would like to ask David a question, all you have to do is dial your international access code, followed by the code for the United Kingdom, 44. The London code, which is 171, and then 379-7444. That's your international access code, followed by 44-171-379-7444. And if you're calling from within the United Kingdom, then it's 0171-379-0411. And if you have access to email, you can email us at this address, ws.pop@bbc.co.uk. That's ws.pop@bbc.co.uk. But now, as promised to do with flying, learning to fly. From the album Momentary Lapse of Reason, Pink Floyd, Learning to Fly. I apologise for fading it early. We have so many calls to get through. David Gilmour, my guest on Pop on the Line, and a question about that track now from Patrick in the States. Hello, Patrick.
Hi. It's nice to be talking, Mr. Gilmour.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Hi.
What's your question, Patrick?
I was just wondering if the accident with John Denver has affected your flying habits at all.
No, it hasn't, to be honest with you. There are accidents we read about constantly. The numbers in terms, in percentages of the actual people that fly is very, very small. I don't know what the final outcome on the inquiry on that accident was, but it sounded like there were a number of things that he did wrong, and these things happen, I'm afraid, but I'm hopefully won't be making any of those sort of mistakes. I mean, that was a kit plane taken out of a box, screwed together, and I think his license was out of date, and from what I heard, sue me if I'm speaking out of turn, but it sounded sort of kind of a foolish mission to have embarked on.
Patrick, you have another question too.
Yes, just quickly, I was wondering who is it that's talking during the middle section of that song?
Is Nick Mason is doing it, I think, with a chap who was our sort of flying instructor.
Okay, it's just one of those things I think that's always
of interest to you.
Yeah.
Patrick, thank you very much for your call. Now, we remain in the United States of America, but where exactly, James? Where are you?
Clark Summit, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, Pennsylvania 65000.
Northeastern Pennsylvania.
All right, I'm sorry. James, you're through to David. What's your question?
I was wondering, Dave, first of all, hello.
Hi.
How was it that you came to meet and discover Kate Bush? And did you enjoy the working relationship with her?
I met her through a friend of mine, whose name was Ricky Hopper. I think he lives in Canterbury, so I'm told. I haven't seen him for very many years, but he was friendly with Kate's brother. And he said, you must listen to this tape of this girl. She's brilliant. So I listened to the tape of the girl, and she was brilliant. And we spent a bit of time working on what the best way of moving her forward, or getting her what she wanted, which was to make records. Made some demos, proper ones. I mean, we didn't make them as demos. We made proper master recordings of three tracks, which we then played to EMI, who said they would like to sign her, and did. I didn't actually really work on that stuff myself. I chose the songs out of piles of stuff that she had, and then employed other people to do the work. And it's worked brilliantly.
James, thank you very much for your call.
Thanks very much.
Let's cross to Singapore. William Wisson is there. He's 11 years old. Welcome, William.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'm a Liverpool football fan as well as a Pink Floyd fan, and I've got two questions.
Yeah.
And when I go to school on the bus, I always listen to The Wall every day, and I'd like to know if you went to a Russian school when you were a kid.
If I went to a
Russian school?
Yeah, of course I did. Everyone goes to rotten schools when they're kids, don't they? I went to a school in Cambridge, which I thought was completely rotten, yes. Hated it. Now they want me to go back there and support their this, that and the other, and I haven't managed to pluck up the courage to even face it yet.
Do you have school dinners, William?
No.
All right. Did you have...
We have lunchtime, yes. But it's really rubbish.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I remember it well.
All right. You were going to ask a question about sport, yes?
Yeah. What is your favourite sport?
Gosh, my favourite sport. Well, I used to go to football a little bit. I used to go and watch the Arsenal. We've actually put the Liverpool cop singing You'll Never Walk Alone on a track that we did on the Metal album many, many years ago. What other sports? I like watching sports, you know, all sorts of stuff. I played rugby at school a bit. I didn't play football at school, but I played football after school.
Did you have a favourite player?
No, not really. Charlie George, I suppose, is pretty good.
He was good, yeah.
You remember him, do you?
Yeah, I do. I've been a football fan for loads of years, and I love it.
Good.
Do you play, William?
Yeah, I love it. I play that every day.
Do you? You play and you listen to The Wall every day. You fit a lot into your day, don't you?
Liverpool did well yesterday, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Very well.
William, thank you very much for your call.
Bye.
I hope school improves for you. Hope it gets a bit more fun.
Thank God on it.
Let's go to Holland now. Merle, you're through to David.
Okay, hi, David. Nice to talk to you.
Hi.
Hi, I've got a few questions to you.
Yeah.
I've got a question about... I've heard somewhere on the internet, or I don't know, or from someone, that you and Polly Samson get a divorce. Is that true?
No, that's not true. I don't think so.
The internet's got a lot to answer for, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, the trouble with the internet is that it's a very good mine of all sorts of information, but there's no controls on whether that information is correct or incorrect, and that's certainly not correct.
It's very dangerous.
We've only been married 4 years. Give us a chance.
No, I'm happy because I'm a great fan of you, and I'm a great fan of Polly too. So.
Good. Well, you can buy her book next year.
What's her book called?
Or
hasn't it been decided yet?
No, it's called Lying in Bed. It's out next April.
Is it a novel?
It's a book of short stories, this one. There's a novel coming after that.
Right. We look forward to that. You have another question, Merle, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And what's the influence of Polly in your work?
What's the influence of Polly in my work? Well, you know, making that last Division Bell record...
Yeah?
We were obviously living together. So whenever I would go home, and the process of work on records means a lot of homework as well as working in the studio, and one tends to get home quite late at night and then sit up for many more hours poring over what you've done and working on it, and her opinions are very, very useful. And of course she co-wrote many of the lyrics on that with me, and because she is a writer of words, and it's not been my main trade, you could say. So she's had a very good influence on us.
Merle, is that all you wanted to ask?
No, I've got one question about the internet.
Another one about the internet. Go on then.
Dave, on the internet they say you have a house on the Portland Road, and I've been on the Portland Road, and it's an office. Is it your office or not? Do you know? Don't you know?
What's this place?
London, in the Portland Road.
In Portland Road.
Yeah.
Yes, we have an office in Portland Road in London. Yeah, that's right.
I guess that's where you direct your letters to, is it, David?
Yes, that's where we have a business office in Portland Road in London. Not that I get there very often.
Have you received my letters or not?
I don't know. What's your name again?
Merle.
I don't know. I'll check.
Have
you been sending me letters?
I've got to send a postcard.
Yeah.
A very big postcard, and
jolly good. Well,
so
I'll look out for them.
Merle,
but I'm not very good at writing
letters, for
your letters,
don't expect
and too many replies.
You've also got the inside story on his family life as well. Thank you very much for your call. Let's cross to Singapore now. Suki Wong, welcome.
Hello, David. Hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Hi.
In a recent issue of a guitar magazine, the readers voted for the greatest guitar solos, and three of your solos featured in the Best 100. Two of them from Dark Side of the Moon and Comfortably Numb from The Wall was voted the fourth greatest solo of all time. Now, we know that Dark Side of the Moon was released in 73, and since then we must all have heard thousands of new recordings, but obviously your music has stuck in the minds of many. My question is, how do you explain this ability of your music to remain in people's memory, to stay relevant? And don't tell me it has to do with the hypnosis, please.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with hypnosis. I don't know what it has to do with. We have done our very, very best to make as good records that mean something, to ourselves and therefore to other people over all these years. And if what you say is true about these guitar sellers, then I guess people like them. You tell me why.
Why do you like Pink Floyd so much, Sook?
I think it's the melody and the technique, because the the new generation of guitarists seem to go for all this anti-technique and, Malmsteen. They seem to like to play the guitars at, 1,000 miles an hour.
Well, I can't, so my fingers are very slow. I don't have that capability. So
that's what you get mostly from these new groups.
Mm.
So, Sook, you're obviously a huge fan.
Yes, you can say that.
Well, thank you very much for your call from Singapore. Let's travel back to the States now. Where exactly are you, Chris?
I'm in College Station, Texas.
Are you? Welcome from Texas. You're
thank
through
you.
To David. What's your question?
Hello, David.
Hi.
I have a question about your spiritual side. I was kind of wondering...
What spiritual side?
Well, I was wondering if you have one, if you are an introspective type fellow, or if you're a deep philosophical creature, or what?
I don't know how to explain these things, you know. I don't follow any religion, but you can't get through life without some introspection. I have no idea how much introspection other people dabble in their quiet, lonely moments. But I have done and will continue to do a fair bit of it. It's impossible to judge. I cannot imagine that everyone doesn't.
Chris, why do you ask that question?
Well, I just find that there's a lot of connection between music and spirituality, at least for me. And I wondered if that also tends to be true for someone who makes music, fine music, in fact.
I'm not sure what spirituality is, really. I don't have a religious belief system that I could explain to you, or a belief in the afterlife. But my belief in the different layers and depths of the subconscious, or the spirit of the human being as they exist on the planet for their lifespan, is it's very deep.
Chris, thank you very much for your call. Away from music again, I have to say we've had a lot of emails about your cars. Now, do you collect cars or just have an interest in classic cars?
I used to sort of do a bit of dabbling in cars and motor racing and stuff like that. Probably mostly because Nick did, and it was... But I've sort of given up on that, really.
Right. So you don't have huge numbers of cars outside your house?
No, I'm afraid not. No.
Tell me about Live Aid. What was that like to be... I know it's a while back now. What was that like to be involved with?
Yeah, it's terrifying. They said they shoved you on. You had 17 minutes exactly to do it. And you were turned round on a little circular sort of stage thing in the middle of the main stage. So you're supposed to be all ready on at the back, and then someone would finish, and then there'd be sort of 2 minutes to turn the thing around, then you bounce through your 17-minute set. Thank God it wasn't mine, it was Brian's. But my guitar didn't work when I got round. It wasn't plugged in properly or something, so I spent the first sort of half of the time sort of looking at amplifiers and fiddling with jack plugs and stuff to try and make the damn guitar work. And by the time I got it in and working, I played about three notes, and then it was all over. So it was just a very frantic moment, the actual musical moment. But the day itself, being there while all those other people got on the stage and did their bit for the famine in Africa, was momentous.
If you've just joined us, David Gilmour, my guest on Pop on the Line this afternoon, and there are just a couple of lines free right now. If you would like to contact us and ask him a question, then you can do that by dialing your international access code, followed by the code for the United Kingdom, 44, the London code, which is 171, and then 379-7444. If you're calling from within the United Kingdom, then call 0171-379-0411, and to email us, the address is ws.pop@bbc.co.uk. That's ws.pop@bbc.co.uk. Time for another piece of music. This is Keep Talking. From the Division Bell, Keep Talking, David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, my special guest on Pop on the Line, and you can put your question to him. Lots of calls coming in, and we have had several emails and calls all dealing with the same subject. Earlier we asked whether there was going to be more solo work from you, but we haven't yet asked whether there are any plans in the distant future for another Pink Floyd album.
Well, we haven't made such a plan, I'm afraid. We haven't got round to discussing it yet. At the moment, I can categorically tell you there's no plan for a record, no plan for a tour. We're not doing a Millennium show, not doing a Cornish Eclipse show. I greatly doubt there'll be a new album out.
Where will you be? Where will you be as the millennium begins?
I think I shall be with my family at my home, having you know, some sort of a celebration. Maybe, you know, I don't know really. Probably maybe right. A big tent in the garden or something. I expect to be at home with my family.
Okay, Andrea is in Rotterdam. What's your question?
Hi, David. I'm the one with the pink hair pestering you by holding up every time a self-written poster. I apologize for that, but I just want to show my appreciation.
Good. We'll forgive you.
Okay. I have a question with regard to guitar playing. The Doppola. What is a Doppola and what is an electro-harmonic mistress you're using?
The electro-harmonic mistress thing is... It's a flanging device. It's an old thing, 20-odd years old, I think,
yeah.
For making sort of flanging noises. Mm-hmm. And a Doppola is what my guitar tech Phil's name for a rotating speaker system, which creates what's called a Doppler effect, which is the system, the sound system that was created by the Leslie. Leslie organ speakers for the Hammond organ, which weren't quite meaty and loud and robust enough for guitar work on the road. So we sort of had some made that did basically the same function, and they got called Doppolas. God knows why.
Oh, okay. Can I ask another question?
Yes, fire away.
Okay. It's a strange question, but my mom died recently. And during her funeral, we played On the Turning Away, which was her favorite song. And she turned 76 years old, and she just loved the song On the Turning Away. Is it possible for me to fly with you up to the sky and say hello to her?
I don't know how you'd manage that, I'm afraid. I'm very sorry to hear your mother's passed away.
Yeah.
I think you'll have to find your own way of getting in contact with whatever you think her spirit is.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean it that literally, but, you know, I just love flying, and I know you're flying, so that's basically a funny question.
It was a funny question, but a very sweet question as well, Andrea. What do you plan to do with your guitar playing?
I'm still busy in trying to write songs, and I just love playing and I love singing. I love songwriting, so I will go on.
Well, we'll remember that name. Andrea Caesar, is that right?
That's right.
We'll remember that name, and perhaps we'll be playing records by you one day.
I don't think so, but maybe.
All right, thank you very much for your call.
All right.
Let's cross to Germany now. Ali, you're through to David.
Hello there.
Hiya.
Yeah, do you know how Sid Barrett is, by any chance?
Yes, I do. He's, you know, he's lives in Cambridge.
Uh-huh.
And he is not too bad. His mental health is better than it has been for years. He is diabetic.
Uh-huh.
And as I think he's rather resistant to taking the right drugs that he's supposed to take for
uh-huh.
it. And that is now, apparently, I'm told, affecting his eyesight a bit.
Is there any chance of him recording again with you or with other people?
I think it's pretty unlikely myself.
What about some old unreleased stuff from the Madcap Laughs or the Barrett sessions?
Well, I think all that stuff's been released now. You know, anything that wasn't on the Madcap Laughs or Barrett albums has been put out on the Opal
mm-hmm.
thing. There's one or two more bits of demo tape, not
right.
studio recorded stuff, that's sitting away somewhere in the vaults. But I don't know if that'll ever see the light of day.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
I noticed that the success of Bell and Sebastian, I think they sound very influenced by his earlier works.
I haven't heard them.
Oh, well, I recommend them. Give them a try.
I will do so.
Okay. Can I just say one more thing? A big happy birthday to Anna.
Jolly good. Happy
Thank
birthday,
you.
Anna.
Thank you. Cheers.
Wherever you are.
Germany.
It's Germany. Whereabouts in Germany?
South Germany, Regensburg.
What's the weather like in Germany?
We got a white... It's white with snow.
Oh, right. It is white with snow
white
already.
With snow. Oh, yeah.
We haven't got it in the UK just yet, but
it's coming.
We wish you a very white and happy Christmas.
Not down in these southern parts, anyway.
I have a question for you. With the year 2000 just around the corner, looking back at the 20th century, I wondered whether maybe you could share with us a news headline, something you vividly remember happening or maybe influencing the future for us.
Much too difficult.
Is that a difficult one? Too difficult.
Yes.
Do you want to think about that one and we'll come back to it? Mastermind, pass.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a call now from India. David, you're through to David.
Hi, David.
Hello.
Lovely to hear your voice. I just can't imagine that I'm talking to the one and only Dave Gilmore.
Oh, well, I'll look in the mirror. I think you are.
I've always wondered whether you fellas in Pink Floyd have been avid readers of children's classics, because the title of your very first album comes from a chapter from The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Grahame.
That's right, yeah.
Vipers of the Gates of Dawn.
Yeah. So, well, yes, I mean, Sid, who wrote that stuff, was a big fan of Kenneth Grahame and a lot of children's writing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've all been children, so... And
yes,
I was quite a voracious reader as a child. So.
I know. We've been brought up on that book in the house at Pooh Corner and, you know, all the rest of it. And can I ask you another question, Dave?
You can.
Why is it that most of your lyrics actually center around, you know, certain forms of mental illness and mental aberration and, you know, momentary lapse of reason, that sort of thing? I mean, you have to do with the mind and mental aberration.
I don't know if it's mental aberration, but yes, I mean, The Dark Side of the Moon obviously was largely influenced by Lunacy Rogers' writing, was largely, as you say, influenced by explorations of the mind. And as I said to someone earlier, the things that tend to be the ones that you want to write tend to be influenced by your darker moments, when one tends to get more lost in one's mind.
David, I'm so sorry to get rid of you so quickly, but we've got to squeeze in another two calls before the end of the show. So thank you very much for calling from Bombay. Let's speak to Joseph Lynch now. Where are you in the States?
I'm calling from Connecticut.
Welcome.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I can't believe the hell I'm talking to David also.
Well, you are.
What's your question, Joseph?
I'd like to know what it's like to play in foreign countries, especially the ones with a different language. See the crowd react to the song, knowing that they love the music and may not understand the lyric.
It's a good question. I tell you, in Italy, for example, when we play in Italy and we play Wish You Were Here, the entire crowd sings along. And they have, en masse, they have a very good singing voices, and they sing it beautifully, much louder, clearer, and more perfectly than anywhere else. But it's very hard to find many Italian people who speak any English. So, although they seem to know all the lyrics and are able to sing them, they can't actually speak anything in the language.
Have you ever had to record in a foreign language?
No, and we haven't.
Would you do so if required, or...?
Well, I don't know what would require it, but I could manage it, I imagine.
Do you know another language?
I speak French reasonably well and a bit of German. Uh-huh. That's about it.
Joseph, thank you very much for your call.
Restaurant Italian,
of course. Fiona is in Bermuda. Welcome, you're through to David.
Thank you. My question is, Mark Knopfler on the same programme a couple of years ago seemed to indicate that you found his early music a little amateurish. Do you feel that listening to your earlier music, do you find the same thing?
I think some of the modern music by us is fairly amateurish at times.
Right, do you prefer the your more original thing?
I mean, track by track you'd have to take it. I don't know. Some of our early stuff I find excruciatingly embarrassing, not necessarily because it's amateurish, just because it's bad.
Right.
And of the more recent stuff, I think we haven't let as much bad stuff get through.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to think of ourselves as sort of amateurs in some sort of cottage industry working away
right.
in a studio.
Okay,
that's great. Fiona, thank you very much for your call. So, thank you very much for joining us, David. What will you do when you go home now?
Well, I'll have to get my youngest boy up from bed, as he'll be waking up in about half an hour, I think, and then make some supper for them a little bit later,
well,
and then relax in front of a nice log fire and slump in front of the telly, I think.
Enjoy the rest of your day. As I say, thank you very much for joining us. Hope someone twists your arms and into, or arm or arms into recording some more with Pink Floyd and as yourself solo. Thank you for joining us today.